College football?
A little college football. Let's go around college football.
And now, with a look around college football.
SMU gets the death penalty.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Joe Paterno is no longer the head football coach. Effective immediately.
Appalachian State has stunned the college football world.
I went to Auburn, Alabama, sure. And I poisoned the two tumors tree.
Bill Snyder has won his first Big 12 championship.
This is Around College Football.
It's game time. What? Driven by
All right.
Well, all right. No bad music. Up
Mitch,
over there.
Take it over around college football. What's up first?
All right. Well, John, I'm going to give you your first answer, first question and answer here. Could Trevor Knight be this year's Trevon Boykin?
This is intriguing.
The Oklahoma's Barry Trammell seems to
Trammell.
He's from Oklahoma, man. It's
okay. Okay.
There's so many similarities between this year's Knight and last year's Boykin. 15 career starts. Job is in jeopardy, and the arrival of the air raid offense. This is a quote from Barry. He says, Boykin was a changed quarterback immediately. So, can the same happen with Trevor Knight?
You know, I did not realize at all how similar the scenarios are, but it's crazy if you do really look at it. And Barry Trammell makes pretty good points there. I mean, new air raid offense coming in that's supposed to fix what was a dysfunctional offense the previous year. Very up and down season with an athletic quarterback. Both of those guys were athletic and had up and down years. And nobody expected them to start coming into the year. That's the other part of this. Remember the name Matt Jokel? Mm-hmm. You remember the name Matt Jokel?
Yeah.
That's who everybody was talking about at this time last year starting for TCU. Where is he at? He's not starting. Trevon Boykin took that over, won the job, and the transfer was left high and dry. Right now, everyone thinks Baker Mayfield is going to start at Oklahoma, and people are forgetting about Trevor Knight. Well, maybe Trevor Knight is going to be Trevon Boykin. There are scary similarities between the two situations.
I do have one difference that I want to point out. Here's a good stat that I looked up for this that I think makes a big difference here. I'm not buying that Trevor Knight can be a new Trevon Boykin because of the inexperience that Oklahoma has on the offensive line. I think that's a really big difference here. Coming into this year, Oklahoma's offensive line has 28 combined starts. 28, that's it. That is a very small number. Going into last year, TCU had 57. And so I think that that makes a big difference. You know, if Oklahoma can get good offensive line play, I think that it can happen, but I'm just skeptical that that's going to be the case.
Well, the other thing is wide receiver. Outside of Sterling Shepard, wide receiver is somewhat of a question mark for Oklahoma. And last year, I mean, Trevon Boykin just had a great core of receivers to throw to. In particular, I mean, Colby Lissenby, Josh Dotson, those guys had phenomenal seasons for them last year. And will Oklahoma have guys who can step up and make plays like that for Trevor Knight? Now, the air raid offense typically can help out a quarterback that's struggling with decision-making. You're getting the ball out of their hands quicker, and that's one of the things that really can help. But also, if I'm going to throw in another thing that may be different between Knight and Boykin, I guess they're both running quarterbacks. You could say both of them would fit in well with a more run-heavy style of offense, but especially Knight seems like if you paired him with those backs, they'd have a real nice plan there with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon and everybody that they have to just run the football and focus on that, but that's not really the way they seem to go with the air raid offense. So that identity crisis I worry about with Oklahoma trying to mesh all that together. So it's one thing to say there's a lot of similarities between the two situations. It's another, and Trammell admits that in the article, it's another to say it's going to work out the exact same way. I mean, it doesn't always happen like that. But you do have to admit, he makes good points.
You boys covered everything I was going to say. I would add to it that I trust Boykin of 2014 as a runner more than I do Trevor Knight.
Yeah. No, yeah. Boykin is a more dynamic runner than Trevor Knight.
Absolutely. Yep. Next topic. It's hard to imagine someone from the University of Nebraska being good at math. I mean, come on. They're two polar opposites. Let's be honest here. But that's why Nebraska hired Tucker Zeleny. He will be their full-time director of sports
analytics.
Analytics. Good word there.
After you make fun of Nebraska's math.
That means his job is to analyze every statistic that might help Nebraska win more games in all sports.
Right. So what's happening here, Nebraska is hiring who they think is their Billy Beane. In fact, that was the quote from someone in the Nebraska Athletics Department about who Tucker Zeleny is. He is, quote, our Billy Beane. He is going to bring advanced football stats to the University of Nebraska. biggest takeaway for me for this that makes me smile? No, Nebraska's admitting they ain't what they used to be.
Yeah,
this is a total admission that Nebraska is not the program that they once were. What everybody in Manhattan and all the rival cities, Norman, Boulder, has been trying to tell them for a while now. You are not the Nebraska of old. You better find some new way to try and win football games because it's not happening right now. Having to go be the first school in the country to hire a director of sports analytics is an admission that you know you need to try and find some new way to win. The spread offense created to try and neutralize a talent disadvantage, that started trickling down all over the place, and this is, to me, akin to that. You're trying to find that next innovative thing that's going to work to help you win college football games. Whether or not it actually happens at Nebraska, I don't know. I'm honestly, if you're going to talk in theory about doing something like this, I'm fine with doing that. It's not going to hurt anything if you've got the money to pay someone to do that and decide whether or not you want to use that. And if it ends up being the next big thing, then you're out at the forefront of it. But I do think it's funny that it's Nebraska admitting they can't just roll out there with the Nebraska big red behind them and the big crowd and third largest city in Nebraska behind them every game day and just win games, because it doesn't work like that anymore.
Yeah, you know, it isn't a bad thing, I suppose. It isn't a bad idea if you have the money, but I am really skeptical that this can actually help Nebraska in any significant capacity, because I just don't see what this guy will be able to determine that coaches cannot determine based on looking at statistics and watching film. I mean, it really should be that simple.
Well, do you want me to give you some of the examples of
Basically, what it is.
I mean, essentially, the quote here from some of the guys in charge of the advanced stats is, we're giving the what, we're not telling the coaches why. So they're going to tell the coaches, okay, giving up a sack on a drive leads to this much lower percentage chance you're going to score. We don't tell them how to avoid sacks, but we're going to tell them that it's going to be important to avoid sacks because your chances are, for example, 75% less than that you're going to score a touchdown on that drive. So that's what they're trying to do. They have pointed out red zone efficiency is something that can be important, but they would argue it's more important to see what your points per trip are inside the 40-yard line. Early down efficiency, according to them, is more important than third down efficiency. So what you do on first and second down, more important than what you do on third down. Those are the types of things that are going to be used in Nebraska.
Again, I think that the potential is there for it to work. Just count me as being skeptical. And if it does, let's get it to K-State.
I just want to know, when is he going to ever have time to do his job? Because there's going to be tutors out there that are trying to teach football players how to do college algebra. They're going to want to know also how to do college algebra. They're going to be talking to this guy all the time. When is he going to be able to do his job?
Well, and he's supposed to be working for all sports. His job is not just for football, but we know that that's where, you know, priority number one is going
to
be.
I guess there is intro to college algebra. You know, keep it easy on yourself. Pac-12 Media Days wrapped up on July 31st in Burbank, California. After hearing from all 12 coaches and representing players in the 2 days, nobody, and I mean this, nobody was as entertaining as Arizona head coach Rich Rodriguez.
Maybe I'm just slow on the Rich Rod train here, but I did not have any idea that he was this entertaining. Let me read you some of these quotes from Rich Rodriguez. Unfortunately, we don't have the audio because, I don't know, if Pac-12 Media Days happened and Deflategate was going on at the same time and SEC Media Days was 3 weeks beforehand, did it even happen? But that's really how I feel about the coverage for Pac-12 Media Days. But here's a quote. Rich Rodriguez on being picked fourth in the South Division. Quote, there was some poll, I don't know, some expert poll that gave us a 2% chance. Is that what that was? Hey, it's like Dumb and Dumber. What are the chances of me, a guy like me, getting with a girl like you? Like 1 in 100? 1 in 1,000,000? So you're telling me there's a chance. Like quoting Dumb and Dumber. Here's Rodriguez on if it's refreshing to have his starting quarterback returning. Refreshing? I think a nice cold beer or a Bacardi and Coke or maybe even a nice iced sweet tea is refreshing. What was the question again? That's fantastic. Rodriguez on the final two losses of the 2014 season. Quote, did you see the movie Lion King? There's a point in the movie where the monkey hits the lion over the head. He said, what'd you do that for? And the monkey says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. That's like next level philosophy that I'm not even following and related back to Lion King. That's awesome. Rich Rod must be feeling much more comfortable at Arizona than he did with all the pressure at Michigan. I mean, he's gone 8-5, 8-5, 10-4 now at Arizona, and he's really elevated the status of the program. I would guess that he's just able to be himself more, and his whole style seems to fit more with the West Coast Pac-12 thing. I would guess he's just more comfortable and feels like he can start busting some of that out. I like it.
Well, I'm not sure if he didn't have a Bacardi and Coke or two before he got up to the podium. Maybe that was what was going on.
Could be.
That's kind of what it sounds like. But no, that's hilarious. I am a huge fan of any coach that has great quotes like this, as long as, you know, they're a good person to back it up and they're not just being, being a jerk about it. But very, very funny stuff from Rich Rod. I can tell you that I'll definitely be paying attention to his post-game press conferences more this year than I ever have.
That's my point. Bingo. Because we're not going to really pay attention exactly to what's going on at Pac-12 days, besides when something like this comes out. Something like this, to me, press conferences can be a little boring at times. I don't exactly find them thrilling.
Oh, like maybe, just, like maybe skydiving. It's not just you.
we cover Bill Snyder. What are you talking about?
Hey, man, it's interesting. I'll give him
credit.
Anyway,
it's more entertaining.
All I'm saying is he's making things interesting, and I like it. Moving on. Oregon's Darren Carrington. He remains in off-season limbo. Carrington failed an NCAA administrative drug test the week of the Ducks' Rose Bowl win over Florida State. Now, by rule, he must miss half of the 2015 season. But Oregon coach Mark Helfrich, not happy about that. He was told that the Ducks were the only college football playoff team to be subjected to the NCAA's random drug testing.
Yeah, a few things here. For one, missing half of a season, which is an eighth of your career, for a failed drug test administered by the NCAA. Look, I don't know all the specific details. I can take an educated guess at what that was, and if it is, that is ludicrous. Ludicrous. First of all, Oregon, I being from that part of the country, there are some different laws and rules and regulations surrounding
Washington,
that type of thing.
This is true.
In Washington.
And look, I'm just saying, nailing a guy for half a season for that is absolutely ridiculous. And what would be another thing I don't have all the details on, because we're just going off Mark Helfrich's word here, but if they were the only school in the college football playoff to actually get drug tested, that's ridiculous.
It is,
that
but
can't
I
happen.
Don't buy that at all.
That can't happen. Well, if you
there's
Florida
there's
State,
no proof for or against it.
Look at everything that's happened on Florida State's campus. I don't want to take a giant leap here, but I'm going to say if Florida State, Alabama, and Ohio State, you take all the major college football programs, you drug test them just like that, and Oregon had somebody get hit up, I would guess that you would have other guys being popped at other places. Because in having a conversation with a former NCAA football athlete very recently, his guesstimate was upwards of 50% of his teammates were smoking marijuana when they were playing in college. And again, that number to me seems low just based on my guesstimate. It's happening, and if Oregon's getting dinged with that, you got to be testing the other schools, because it's going to happen to other schools.
Well, again,
it's going to happen to other teams.
You are filling in some blanks that we don't know the answer to. We don't know for sure if it was marijuana. It very well may have been. I would probably put money on that
it was,
but we don't know that. Or at least what you read out, Mitch, we don't have a confirmed drug there. But anyway.
Well, his father blamed secondhand marijuana.
That's what it was.
So that's the,
okay.
The evidence.
So that's the indication, but we'll see. As far as Mark Helfrich is concerned with this, you know how I'm going to – what the take I'm going to have on this. Be angry at your player. Don't lash out publicly at the NCAA. Make sure that your program just stays away from it to the greatest extent that you have control over. And I'll say this. Those other programs that went to the college football playoff, I would guess that while a lot of those guys probably smoke marijuana during the off season, a lot of them are also probably smart enough to realize that they're on a really good team and don't want this to happen to them.
I know, but you're just going to – I don't want to get too big picture. We're running out of time here. But you talk about getting guys hooked on painkillers for the pain, and you could have something that's not going to have them addicted to something for
it's
the rest of
their life. It's a much bigger
issue than
that.
Essentially heroin. Okay, and you're going to pop them for half a season for testing positive for that. But I digress. Let's get to the last one.
All right, guys. Finally, Notre Dame, now Florida State quarterback Everett Golson, has usually been the type to deflect any negative comments towards him or his team. Well, that was true until Golson decided to react to comments made by SEC Network radio host Paul Feinbaum when he was on SportsCenter over the weekend.
Florida State has no business being in the top 10. I realize they're trying to replace Jameis Winston. They have Golson, who to me has been unimpressive since the 2012 season at Notre Dame. And Florida State has to also go to Clemson this year. I don't think they'll win that game. I think Florida State is beginning to trend a little bit downward. So they have no business being in the top 10.
Well, if you want to go strictly by numbers, Paul Feinbaum is actually incorrect. The numbers last year for Golson were better pretty much across the board. Better quarterback rating. He had way more touchdown passes. He did have more interceptions, but still almost a 2-to-1 TD to INT ratio. He had more yards, better completion percentage. So if you want to go strictly by numbers, Everett Golson is right, being upset. He tweeted, the fire's been lit, but thanks Paul Feinbaum for adding fuel to it. Bottom line, though, is Everett Golson, I would think, took way more flack for the year off that he missed at Notre Dame when he had to sit out for a year because of the academic scandal. I'm surprised that this is what gets to him. I would think he's developed pretty thick skin after what he had to go through missing the 2013 season at Notre Dame.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I am not a huge fan of Everett Golson as a football player. I don't think that he's a great college quarterback, but I am definitely not a big fan of Paul Feinbaum as a person and his analysis of the college football landscape. So it's kind of water under the bridge for me. I don't really care that much about this story.
Feinbaum's great, man. I like this one.
I'll agree with him that Florida State should not be in the top 10.
That's Around College Football. We get you a quick You Can't Be Serious, then off to the Royals next.
Get in the game.
It's been more than 15 years since I received a call that no parent wants to receive. My son Anthony was in college at Kansas State when he died suddenly from an undiagnosed